It's Friday!
Let's get it started in here.
Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
It's Friday!
Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control, a body of soul. Don't move.
All right. Wow, what a great start today. And it is definitely Friday, and I am so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way, starting your weekend. It's going to be an amazing. There is so many things to do. I can't keep them all on my calendar even. I mean, there's like a decision or a choice for anybody that wants to do something. Don't stay home. Go out in your garden, go in the pool. I think it's going to be just an amazing weekend. We've got Boys and Girls Club that's having their event right this weekend over at the Pierpont Inn, and definitely we gave tickets away for that. That is a great show. There's so many things going on.
The
Strawberry Festival. It's just, in fact, today is the start of it, right? So we have tickets. I sent out a bunch of tickets for that.
So you're telling me that I should give up Clippers, Kings, Lakers playoff games on TV this weekend to go out and do something with my life?
Tebow, babe. Tebow. Oh,
right? Yeah. In between.
Yeah, no. You're not on?
I don't think so. Am I on?
Well, let me introduce you. All right. Well, we've got Marcia here with us again. You've actually spent a whole week with me.
I know. This is very weird.
Yeah. I love it. So anyways, if you are just tuning in for the very first time, our show is all about positive talk. And we love to add value every day in every way. And I'm a hair therapist. I love to help you from the outside in and really just talk about what can make your life better and beautiful and what can help you through your life. So I want to introduce Barry, who is on my board here.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going just great, Kim.
Good.
I'm so glad to be here and be a part of this and be part of a good show this morning.
Very good. Very good. And our phone number here is 805-639-0008. You know, I was at a Caneo team referral last night at Lindero Country Club. Really cool little place out there. And just met some amazing people. So I want to do a little shout out to Karen and Greg and all of my new friends out there. I was actually a speaker, and it was really
good. How did that go?
It was great. It was really good. You know, there's something about speaking from your heart. You know, it's so authentic. You really can't. So I had this whole thing prepared, you know, And then I just took it over from my heart.
So it went in a different direction?
No, it went in the same direction. I mean, it was kind of, but, you know, I thought, oh, my gosh, I better, like, memorize this. And, you know, it didn't matter. It's really my journey, and that's what it was about. So anyway, so I think that went really well. And there was a couple other speakers that were talking about social media and how Facebook is going public. I don't know about that. What's your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of people are going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is I think they've waited long enough now to suck us all in.
Well, you know what I think is fabulous is all of his employees are making money off of this.
Oh, so he's giving everybody a part of it.
Yeah, everybody has a part of it. And as it goes online, they're all becoming millionaires. And I think that is just...
Spread the wealth.
That's great.
Spread the wealth. That's what it's all about. Anyways, well, today we are going to be talking. We're going to start off our show. Our first part of our show is going to be with Michael Natkin, and we're going to be talking about vegetarian cooking and flavors. And this is something I love. This.
Okay, I'm going to say the name of his
book.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's herbivoraceous. Now I'm saying it wrong. Herbivoraceous.
I think it's herb.
I did this really well before we got
herbivoracious.
On.
Herbivoracious.
No, it's her. H-E-R. Herbivoracious. A herbivore is somebody who eats vegetarian, or you know, like an animal that eats vegetarian. Voracious is somebody who's hungry all the time. Herbivoracious would be.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that we're kind of getting back to that. We're kind of getting back to planting our own food and eating it and taking care of ourselves. And I think that that's really important to, you know, to have a garden. And I know you have a garden. You have fruit trees. Fruit trees are looking so good, so I'm really excited about that.
I wish I had more time to tend a garden.
Me too. And it is.
There is nothing like a homegrown tomato. I mean, I honestly can't eat regular tomatoes in the grocery store. I don't think they have any flavor at all. But when you and they're too bitter. But when you grow it at home, it's just sweet and tastes great. And you know, you pick things when they're supposed to be picked, not early, and then try to make them ripe after you pick them.
Right. I just want to let everybody know who's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I want to let you know all the ways that you can find us here. One is KimPaganoShow.com. You can stream us there, listen live, and leave me messages there. Also on TuneIn Radio and iTunes, and also all my podcasts are downloaded on iTunes now. And become a fan on Facebook. That is a huge connection of finding out what is going on my show. So, and Barry, you were going
to
say something?
I just wanted to make one quick point that you get the chance to buy stuff now at farmers markets locally and that sort of thing, as well as grow them in your own garden. And when you the supermarket tomato, even if it was necessarily picked maybe somewhere here in this area, it had to go to Los Angeles and then come all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
The processing and all that.
Yeah,
so,
there's nothing better than just picking it out of your garden. So,
not everybody can have a garden, but the garden.
Well,
everybody
can have a garden because you can do it in a pot.
And
you can
herbs,
do it. Yeah.
Nothing else. It's so expensive to buy herbs grown, and, you know, to grow them doesn't cost hardly anything.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyways, I'm really excited to be talking to Michael. Also, our next guest is something that's going to be important it's really just talking about keeping education through the summer. And a lot of us, you know, have young children and, you know, you need to kind of keep your brain working all the way through the summer. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So Michael, are you there?
I am.
Welcome.
Okay, so you pronounce your book.
Yes. How do you pronounce your book?
Okay, it is a mouthful, so it's herbivoracious.
Oh,
herbs. So
we
you're
were
saying
both
like
okay.
Herbs,
so,
like
let me help you with that. So not herbs like herbs, herb like herbivore.
Oh, herbivore. Okay.
Yeah. So if we put together herbivore and voracious, you got it.
That's where I was looking.
Oh,
and that's where you were looking.
We got
that's
two
right.
different
yeah.
spellings
they,
on her.
Yeah, your PR gave funny. Us two different. One is with an A, and one is, and I'm like, why is she saying a anyways.
Yeah.
But very interesting. And so what does that actually mean?
So it means I just love to eat. I love to eat, and I'm a vegetarian. So I'm a voracious herbivore.
Wow. And how long have you been a vegetarian?
Well, you know, I've been a vegetarian for 30 years now.
Wow.
So you were before your time. I mean, before everybody really got eating vegetables.
And vegetarianism has really evolved over the years, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, we've come from when I was starting eating vegetarian, of course, it was pretty sad stuff. A lot of lentil loaves and veggie burgers in a dehydrated box and horrible stuff. And, you know, that's a big part of what I want people to understand is that vegetarian food has come a long way. Now it can be beautiful and bright and filling and hearty and just great to eat. So my whole goal in life is not to say, hey, you should be a vegetarian or a flexitarian or a pescatarian or whatever. I think everybody knows for themselves what they should eat. My goal is to say, if you'd like to eat a meatless meal tonight, let me make sure that it's really, really good.
Yeah, and if you go to a good vegetarian restaurant, you don't even notice there isn't meat on the menu.
I agree, and if you go to an omnivorous restaurant and their vegetarian option is thoughtfully designed, that should be the case too. It should just be delicious.
So, okay, for somebody that is just wants to try to not eat meat anymore, how would they start?
That's a good question. So what I recommend people not do is try to just convert all of their sort of standard American diet meals, because they'll end up eating, you know, just sort of mac and cheese all the time, and they'll be bored, and they won't feel good, and they won't stick with it. So what I recommend you do is you really look to the foods from other countries. If you look at Mexico or Indonesia or Thailand or Italy or, you know, just about anywhere else in the world, they have amazing foods that are either already vegetarian or super easy to make vegetarian. And that's a lot of what I do in my cookbook, is try to introduce people to foods from the rest of the world, but not necessarily the ones they've all had a million times. So I try to kind of go into a little bit more of the culinary, I guess almost like call them deep tracks, you know, foods that are amazing, but we don't necessarily get at your local Indian restaurant or your local Thai restaurant, and let me show you how to make them delicious and vegetarian.
I love it. And I didn't receive your book yet. And so do you have recipes, and is that what's in your book?
Yes. It's so there's 150 recipes in it.
Okay.
80 color photos. It's really nice. Harvard Common Press did a beautiful job designing it so that it's a very accessible book, really easy to cook from. Definitely not meant to be a coffee table book. It's the kind of book that you could cook from every day.
So you're going to use it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so now, what inspired you to be a vegetarian? Were you not feeling good? Did you have, like, you know, was there anything that really, because I think a lot of people want to change their eating because of maybe an illness, or if they're not, they're feeling sluggish, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, the fact that you mentioned that really ties right in that when I originally became a vegetarian because my mom was passing away from breast cancer, and which is horrible, obviously, when I was 18 years old. And I was only 18, and she was trying a macrobiotic diet to see if that would help. It ultimately didn't, but I think when people are sick, they'll try just about anything, really, to see if it can help. And so I started doing the cooking for her, and my girlfriend at the time was also a vegetarian, so, you know, that just became what I was doing. And as soon as I tried it, I knew it was right for me. You know, I was always sort of the kid who couldn't even bait a fish hook. I just don't like to inflict pain on animals. So for me, that's kind of the core reason. It's not so much about health or saving the planet or anything else, but just kind of a personal feeling.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that it doesn't really matter why I'm a vegetarian so much as it matters that everybody thinks they should eat less meat than they do now.
You know, and I think that's the key. I didn't eat red meat for 20 years. Actually, I do now.
You didn't? I never knew that.
And I felt good. But then when my kids were small, my sons were very active, and they didn't eat meat. Anyway, it didn't matter why. But I eat more meat than I should now. And I would love to go back to eating less meat if I can convince everybody in my family that.
Well, good. I think I can help you. I mean, that's really my goal. Is I think it's hard to convince people when the night that you do eat vegetarian, it becomes just like, feels like a lot of side dishes, you know?
Yeah, I do try to cut it out anywhere I can. Like if I make lasagna, I don't make it with meat. If I make, you know, spaghetti sauce or whatever, I do other things so that I don't need the meat in it and people don't really even notice. But
I mean, really, I what I have done for my family is cut, you know, like I have to tell you, there's nothing better than a good steak, okay? I'm going to be honest with you, but I'll cut it in half. We used to have the whole steak, and now we share it, and maybe even three it, you know?
Or if you buy flank steak and you can cut it really thin, they don't notice they're eating less of it.
Exactly. And so, you know, at first they're like, Mom, seriously? Because I've got boys, you know,
yeah,
and my
too.
Husband. But then I filled it up with all the vegetables and salad and everything else that's good for you, so...
Absolutely. And I think something that can be missing, too, from vegetarian meals is some of that. Are you guys familiar with the word umami?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so those real savory flavors. So it can be hard to find that in vegetarian food, and one of the things I try to go into the book is ways to bring some of those flavors back using Parmesan cheese and dried tomatoes and dried shiitake mushrooms and kombu, all the things that add those real savory flavors.
It's like, you know what, the difference between a vegan and a regular vegetarian, I think it would be a lot tougher to be a vegan because you can't have cheese.
I agree. That does create I absolutely support people who choose to be a vegan, and it is more challenging. But I do have about half the recipes in the book are either vegan or really, really easy to make vegan. So, you know, substituting the Earth Balanced margarine for butter, for example.
Some of these things sound fabulous. Can you tell us what caramelized apple and blue cheese crostini is?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite little appetizers in the book. So, you know, crostini, of course, is just the little crisp toasted pieces of bread that in Italy you can put just about anything on and have it as a first course. So in this case, what we do is make a tarragon oil just by simply take fresh tarragon and you whiz it in the blender with olive oil, brush that on the crostini, and then you take apples, cut it in thin slices, and caramelize it in a hot skillet, put that on top, top it with some blue cheese and a little bit of the fresh tarragon. Mm. So it's something you can do in 5-10 minutes, and it's just delicious.
Yeah, my mouth is watering.
Oh, my God, and that's an amazing appetizer right there.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a few in the book that are really meant to just be something you can throw together quick, and goes good with a glass of wine, and it's something kind of fun to serve if you're having folks over for dinner.
You know, what's funny is I would probably, over any meal, appetizers. My friends actually tease me, we don't want to share with you, Kim, okay?
Yeah.
You know,
but you can't go out to dinner with Kim and have your own meal.
Yeah, I'm like, do you guys want to share? Because I like to taste everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and now what about this persimmon and parsley and olive salad?
That's an interesting salad because you normally wouldn't think of parsley as being sort of the main greens in a salad. And this is not the sort of a salad that you want a great big bowl of. It's not an entree salad at all. It's definitely a side dish. But the combination is really interesting. You get to taste the nice Italian flat-leaf parsley as really sort of the main ingredient within the sweetness from the persimmons, and the salty olives is kind of the counterpoint.
Hmm.
So what season is persimmons?
Persimmons, I believe, are in the fall.
Fall, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's two kinds. There's the fuyus and the hachias, and one you eat when it's as soft as pudding, and the other you eat firm. So for this, we use the firm kind.
And it's a beautiful tree besides. So parpadella with eggplant ragu. I love eggplant, and I think we underuse eggplant because it can be a substitute for meat.
Yeah, I think people make a couple common mistakes with eggplant. Well, really just one main thing is they just don't cook it enough. And
right.
There is nothing worse than undercooked eggplant, right? It's bitter and astringent, and the texture is horrible.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because for some reason that's a hard one for me to cook.
Well, and a lot of people think they have to fry it. An eggplant is very good baked. If you
wait, baked or grilled?
Baked. Well, either one.
All
okay.
of the above. Baked,
yeah.
Grilled, sautéed, any of the, you know.
So what's the best way to do it is you cut it in half, and then you peel it, and then you slice.
I don't peel it, because then it gets too
mushy.
Mushy.
So you,
yeah, it depends on the dish you're doing. Like for my eggplant parmesan, I don't peel it kind of because you're sort of cutting it thin and you're going to crisp it up in the saute pan.
So you eat the peel?
See, now, what I do is I take eggplant and I cut it in like a half inch slices. Then I dip it in either egg or milk or something so that and then I roll it in panko breadcrumbs with seasoning in it. I bake that. Well, and you just spray it with a little.
Do you
have one of those sprayers that have
olive oil
in it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, those are great.
Yeah, spray it with a little olive oil. Then I bake it, and then when I take it out, I put a piece of fresh mozzarella on top. Some
I'm so hungry right now.
And a little bit of parmesan, and it is fabulous. Or you can put some tomato sauce on it if you want to do that.
Absolutely. That's basically very similar to my recipe for eggplant parmesan. It's just delicious.
Yeah. Really? You know, Michael, where are you at?
I'm in Seattle.
Can you come over here, please?
Cook for us at the
Michael,
kitchen.
We'll
have a kitchen show next
if
time.
If anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm here, Kim and Marcia. We got Barry on our line. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And we were talking to Michael Natkin, and his book is Herbivoracious.
Herbivoracious.
Can you stay with us really quick and come back with you? Because I'd love to get a couple more recipes.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. We're going to be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
It's the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Do you have a story to share? Perhaps an impressive or inspirational journey? We'd love to hear from you. Send an email to kimpagano@gmail.com. That's Kim Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O, @gmail.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back. And I am so glad that you are starting your day here in a positive way with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I want to give out our phone number here, 805-639-0008. We are talking with Michael Natkin right now, and we're talking about all his vegetarian recipes. And Michael, say your book and your name of your book again. I don't want to mess it up.
Okay, no problem. The name of the book and the name of my blog as well. Herbivoracious.
Okay, and you know, that's what I wanted to kind of talk to you about. So what do you write about? Everything that you create on your blog?
Yeah, so my blog is all vegetarian recipes.
Mm.
Once in a while we'll have a giveaway or talk about something philosophical or whatever, but 9 times out of 10 it's a new vegetarian recipe a couple times a week. And I develop them in my home kitchen. I serve them to my friends and family, or sometimes I stay up late at night cooking new things, and whatever turns out good and beautiful that I want to share, that goes on the blog.
I love it. Are you obviously so passionate about cooking?
Absolutely. It's pretty much all I think about. Well, other than my kids.
Yeah, there you go. And are they vegetarians?
They are, yeah, for the most part. My wife will eat a little bit of chicken here and there.
Yeah, okay.
Not at home, though.
Okay.
I do all the cooking.
Very cool. I love it.
So I think it's really great to, like, you can start by just one meal a day. I mean, a week. Like, every Monday we're going to have a meatless meal. And I do that. I have a meatless night.
I do that,
night.
Too, yes.
And then you can go to two nights a week and see how people, you know, incorporate it in your life so you can live with it. But, you know, it is nice. And it's less expensive.
Oh, my gosh. Meat's so expensive lately. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, so if you could take us through, let's say, 2 days a week, what would we eat if we ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner in your home?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, breakfast. Yeah, I have young kids, so breakfast is all about getting them out the door to school. So, you know, if we're lucky, we might have oatmeal, but a lot of times it's just, frozen French toast or something not very exciting.
That's okay.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
lunches, yeah, you know, we're a busy family. A lot of times we're eating leftovers, but if I have time, I'll run out to one of my local restaurants, maybe get some Vietnamese food or Ethiopian food. They're all nearby and inexpensive and delicious.
So let's go back to Ethiopian food. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Oh, love Ethiopian food. So almost all Ethiopian meals are based around this bread called injera, which is enormous. It's about probably 2 feet across or something like that. And it's used both as eating utensil and plate. So you have it on this enormous platter, and then all these different dishes, lentils, different kinds of vegetables, salads, some of them real spicy, some mild, are all in little piles around, and you tear off pieces of bread and scoop up whatever you feel like eating.
Which is funny, because I think of Ethiopians as starving to death. So
I
when
do
you talk
too.
About a restaurant, it's kind of a,
oh. No, they're fantastic.
Do we have any Ethiopian restaurants around here?
Los Angeles does.
I'm going to have to go check it out. So if and to make a meal spicy in a vegetarian, what would you be using?
Oh, there's so many great options. You know, one of my most favorite things to use that's both spicy and has a smoky element is smoked paprika.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. If you can't find it in the local spice store, you'll be able to find it at Whole Foods, for example. But if not, you can jump online and get it at chefshop.com or on Amazon. And it's a Spanish ingredient. They take the pimenton peppers, they dry them, and then they smoke them over oak. So you get both a little bit of heat and just this incredible flavor, like if whatever you've just made for dinner was roasted over an open fire.
And I do think that it's really important to, when you eat vegetarian, to use herbs and spices so that everything doesn't taste the same. It doesn't taste like the same old broccoli you've steamed for your whole life. You know?
Right. You know what's hard for me is what spices do you use together? And I have a lot in my garden, but can you help me with that?
Sure. I think it really depends on the culture, and it can be pretty specific. Like, obviously, if you're thinking Italian-American, then oregano is going to be an herb that you would look to, and basil would be
rosemary, yeah.
But, yeah, but if you move into southern Italy, then definitely the rosemary and thyme, and then you can combine that with all sorts of interesting things like orange zest and capers. Mm-hmm. And I have a recipe for a Sicilian spaghetti in my book, where the sort of the main ingredient besides the spaghetti is caramelized cauliflower that you do in a really hot skillet with a lot of nice olive oil, and so it gets this beautiful brown flavors. And then you combine it with the fennel and the orange zest and the pine nuts and the rosemary and all those things, and it's just delicious.
Oh, that sounds great.
It is really interesting when you travel about how different tastes really are regional, and that's the exciting part to me.
It
about
is
traveling.
For me too, and I love that. And I loved even what you just said, from Italy to American to, you know, I mean, and then you go into the Hispanic, and you know the spicy salsas and all that. So I love it. I love different.
And even
tastes.
That is regional.
Absolutely, you know that. I'm sure you guys have heard the saying, you know, what grows together goes together.
And yeah,
you don't have to reinvent the wheel with this stuff. I mean, it's fun to play with your own combinations, and I love to do that. But every culture has already got this figured out. You know, if you go to India, they have an incredible culture of combining all those amazing spices, but they don't use a lot of herbs. You go to Mexico, and there's Mexican oregano and the dried chili peppers, and you know, so just you can look to the combinations that already are you know will work.
Okay, go back to our second our dinner.
Oh, so we're making dinner. Okay, well,
I
just flipped the cookbook open to one of my favorites. It's crispy polenta cakes with white beans and morel mushrooms.
Mm.
So you cook your polenta the day before, and maybe you use it for a different dish. You serve the polenta soft. Then you put the polenta in the leftover in the refrigerator overnight, cut it into slices, and you pan fry it in olive oil, and it gets this amazingly crispy texture on the outside and the gooey, cheesy inside. And then we just make a little quick ragu of white beans, morel mushrooms, and a little bit of red cabbage. And that is a very hearty, very satisfying dinner.
You just totally use everything. I love that.
Very easy.
Yeah.
For you.
Well, some of it is just having things on hand, like the, you know, spices, herbs, all that stuff, so that when you go to make something, it's not so daunting.
Wow, I just pulled up your blog here, and your book is colorful and beautiful. I love it. I can't wait to get one.
Thank you. Sorry we didn't get you one before the show, but we'll make sure one gets out.
Okay, and God, what is on the cover?
So that is a nudie, which I know it sounds a little racy. It's not that exciting. It's if you've had gnocchi, it's very similar, but it's a potato. So it's ricotta and flour dumplings, and in this case, I put a lot of fresh basil in them.
Yeah.
You just make a little dumpling, and you cook it in boiling water, and then in this case, I've served it just with real simple sauté of zucchini and tomatoes, more basil.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that
exciting.
Looks... You know, I could really eat vegetables all the time. Even,
I
you
did.
Know, my parents are from England, and so my mom will have sautéed tomatoes and, you know, onions or mushrooms on toast, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been brought up with.
Well, I have three teenage boys at my house, and they're all graduate from high school this year, and they're going away, and they're total carnivores. And my daughter just said to me, because she's a junior in high school, she's like, when the boys go, can we eat less meat?
She just said that?
Really? She just did. And I said, yeah, absolutely. We'll just, you know, And the fact that I won't have to practically cook a whole cow every night will make me happy.
Yeah, wow, this is great. Well, so where do we find your book?
It should be available at all the major retailers. You can find it at Barnes & Noble, of course, and on Amazon. And, of course, we'd love for you to go out and support your local independent bookstore as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If they don't have it, you know, if they don't have it, just ask and they can bring it in for you.
Yeah. Michael, is this your first book?
This is my first book, yeah. I've been working on the blog for 5 years, and I started the cookbook 2 years ago, and it just hit the shelves.
Wow.
That's great.
Very good. Congratulations.
And you're in one of my favorite places. I love Seattle.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Yeah. All right. I love the seafare there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much. We'll have you back. Keep us, you know, if you have anything going on, let us know. And are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Can you become a fan of ours here and share a recipe with all my listeners?
I would love to.
Okay. Kim Pagano Show.
Kim Pagano Show. I got it.
You got it. All right. You have a great day. And I thank you for your time.
You bet. That
was Michael Natkin. And, God, just amazing.
I'm getting this book.
I know.
Sometimes it's just a matter of having a recipe that's the difference between doing something or not.
Yeah, I love it. You know, we had another book. It was The Trucks. Remember, were you on with that? Jeannie was probably on. But, you know, when you actually recipes that you can use and enjoy, there's something.
I love cooking. You know me.
I know.
I love cookbooks. And I do cook a lot. And I do use my recipe. You know, I use them to get inspired. I don't always use the recipe the way it's written, but I do get inspired by different things. And I write in my recipe books.
So you change things?
Usually what I do is I try to do the recipe fairly close to what is written the first time. And then I change it. And as I change it, I always write in my recipe books so that I remember what I did that I thought was better than the recipe.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Have you ever thought of writing your own recipe?
I have.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I wanted to always write, you know, something when my kids, four of them, would be, Mom, I'm hungry. What's for dinner? I wanted it to be 5 minutes or less, you know, because I was always like, oh, my gosh, I'm like pulling it together. So,
well, I'm thinking about writing an entertaining book because I'm a florist.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing how food and flowers and setting and all that stuff go together.
I think that would be great. You're very good at that. Yeah. You know, one of the things that my daughter has just got engaged, my younger daughter, and so we were looking on the internet last night for her engagement party, and I think I finally, like, I'm there. You
You're
know,
embracing it's, it?
Yeah, I'm embracing it. But it was really interesting. There's so many, you know, there was a lot of great ideas, but there wasn't a lot of great ideas, you know, but you can kind of start with, you know, different things that can kind of blossom. You know?
Yeah.
I had one question I wanted to ask you, too, because my wife works full time, God bless her, and I'm still working just part time trying to add to the income. So that means I get to play what I call the executive producer of Real House Husbands of Oxnard. So I'm doing more cooking and we're trying to use more of the vegetarian cookbooks that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I get past the thing of cooking being a chore, you know, with all the dicing and the chopping and all that kind of stuff? That's the hard part for me, and to make it more of a pleasure.
Well, you know what? Okay.
What do you do while you cook?
That's I was just going
to say. Do you put on music you love?
Well, I listen to the ball game typically.
So you know what I do?
Get a glass of wine out.
Yeah, exactly. But I have an island, right? And I actually put some stools up there, and so I sit down and, you know, kind of like I make it a project. It's like another project. So almost like I'm doing my work, but I love it.
Well, all that stuff to me is therapy.
It is.
I love.
Yeah, and I try to get the mood going, like you were saying. You know, put music on, or you know, I'm in front of the TV, so I could put a cooking channel on and. No, I'm all good.
Yeah, but I understand the day-to-day stuff is a chore sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, we got to get away from the fast food and also the other stuff that is not as good for us. So.
Right.
Yeah, and it just from the sodium alone, fast food is just terrible for you as you get older.
Yeah, so definitely. Well, you know, what we're going to do is we'll take our next guest and then we'll continue talking about this because I think that you and I love to entertain. And
we
Yeah, there's so many great things that we can talk about. All right. Well, I would love to introduce Maria. And Cuevas? Is that right?
That is correct. That's Cuevas.
Ah, okay. Great. And welcome. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Allie's Best. Okay. That's in Allie County.
Okay, great. And tell us a little bit about yourself. And we're going to be talking about how parents can prevent summer learning loss, right? And I think that this is so important. Having four children, you do all this work all year long, and then you kind of like turn your brains off. I even do that. It's almost scary when I go, like I just was in Florida, and I finally turned off for a little bit, and it was took me a long time to get back into it. That's 4 days. Can you imagine a whole entire summer?
You know what? It is a good task, though. It keeps me moving, and obviously being involved in what is the movement of summer learning allows me to take it home and continue on that path. So a lot of what I've learned at work, I use in my home, and I will tell you that it's been the best teacher. That's definitely for sure.
Are you a teacher?
I am not a teacher. I am with an after-school program, and I supervise more so the adults who teach the children. So I'm a director for Allie's Best. I've been with Allie's Best since 1993 when I started high school. Since then, I've continued developing, obviously, my skills in the after-school movement as a practitioner and have held various positions that allow me to connect with our staff, and it's been almost 20 years since I've been in this after-school movement.
So what do you feel, what you call it, summer learning loss? What is that?
Summer learning loss. Well, I could tell you that summer learning loss is basically the idea that many students need meaningful learning and enrichment opportunities. Now, we know that when the school doors close during the summer vacation, not all the children get an opportunity to have those experiences. Summer learning loss is basically the result of absence of summer learning and enrichment. And research has shown summer learning loss to be a huge factor in the effect of what we contribute to the low-income and middle-income student achievement gap. Without ongoing summer opportunities to reinforce and learn skills, children, especially children in low-income communities, fall behind dramatically and in many areas of what we call the achievement gap.
Right. So I was very lucky. I got to stay home with my kids when they were in elementary school. And so I was able to enrich my kids' education through the summer, taking them to museums, working on their math, whatever.
Yeah.
But for working mothers, and their children are not as well supervised. Maybe they go to a babysitter, or maybe they go to, hopefully they go to some place like Boys and Girls Club where they have some kind of enrichment program.
That's a great,
but
you know,
if they don't, what do?
For parents that have that low income, what we recommend is really going and researching some of what is offered within your county libraries. A lot of the libraries offer great opportunities for children to be involved in some free-cost, amazing literature opportunities. Again, it's through your county, and you're able to log in, and many of them have this Dream Big Read programming. An example would be for Ventura County. They're open from June 10th through August 12th, and what you could do is log into your Ventura County Library website and get the kickoff schedule and event schedules that really promote this idea of free-cost learning opportunities for children. There are amazing shows taking place every day at the Peru Library, Fillmore Library, Avenue Library, and they have amazing guests that would be able to get your children this opportunity to, you know, be involved and participate in something that they otherwise wouldn't.
Right, right. Also, you know what? I mean, there are, you could do a group, you know, get all the friends over and everybody has to put a model together. We've done that before where everybody goes and, you know, you get either, you know, you make a model, a car model, or you go buy a cheap one. And there's just ideas that parents can do to really explore. And also, I think that it's really important. What I always did is, I had a tutor come the month before school started, so my kids really weren't out that long.
But that's expensive. Not everybody can
afford
that.
Well, I'm saying, if you can't do a tutor, to at least get some work, make copies of their work that they've done, and kind of just go back over it, you know?
Yeah, and there's a few other tips specifically around
I would love some tips.
Obviously, reading to your children or encouraging your child to read. books recommended, especially by their teachers, since they know what age level they're at and,
right.
and their reading level, of course. Their local library and online summer reading list, like I mentioned. Signing up for your library summer reading program is amazing because they have so many incentives and summer reading opportunities for kids, and all of this is free again.
You know, my kids always did that. We always had a contest in our house who could read the most pages by the end of the year, and I made, you know, there was always a something fun for them at the end of the summer. So
right.
my kids are huge readers.
Yeah, but, and my kids are not huge. I wish
they
were.
But we started by doing that. I mean, that was what... What got them to be readers is, and the other thing that got my kids to be readers is books on tape. I'm telling you, I swear that the reason my kids are big readers is because we read all of the Harry Potter books together on books on tape, and then we discussed the books, which was the important part because all of our family was listening to them, and then we discussed them, and that changed their vocabulary, their passion, their wanting to explore what
other books
reading
are,
is,
yeah.
And, you
Do you
know,
think that if your kids are older, because my kids don't love to read, and in my husband and I, we don't read long, big books. We read short, you know, little stories, that kind of thing. I've probably gotten more into reading now, obviously, because I have my show. But what would help somebody? My kids are older now, and they don't have an interest to pick up a book.
I don't know what you do on this side, except for the fact that I think that. Why they don't read is they haven't found what they're passionate about.
Correct, yeah.
So some people like fiction, some people like biographies, some people like to hear about real stories of people, some people, you know.
Yeah. Maria, so. Do you have any ideas on that?
If for the older children, we typically work with the younger ones. I think once they hit a certain age, they lose, some of children, that is, some teenagers, lose interest in reading. One of the things that I have found out with my own teenage daughter is that whenever there's a movie coming out, that's what she wants to watch.
Right.
So reinforcing that reading opportunity, we want to watch the movie, we'll go watch the movie, but let's take an opportunity to read. You know, Aquamarine was one that she was really interested in, and that was a few years ago, but the book was there. And so we read the book, and we went and watched the movie as an incentive for her at the end. And she's always had a difficult time just connecting to literacy or literature, but that definitely does it for me. The Hunger Games is one that's out right now. You know, really promoting that literacy aspect through books really allows for our children to continue reading. And, you know, reading is special. It's magical. It's using your imagination to take you to that place. So I think the more we do that, the better we're supporting our children.
You know, I do want to say that my daughter, who's a ferocious reader, she reads all the time. She was not a good reader when she was younger. When she was in first grade, she was sick a lot. Mm-hmm. She had a parasite and missed like 40 days of school. And she missed a lot of the different sounds or whatever you learn to read. So by the time she was in second grade, she was very behind. And she had a teacher that took her under her wing and every day sat and read with her. And every single day read with her that year. And now she's a phenomenal reader. So sometimes it's just figuring out what your issue is and why you don't like to read is because you can't read very well. And frankly, you just need a little help on figuring out why that is.
And along with that, I believe that it's definitely connecting to children. It's always about building the relationship. And that's one of the things that I could share about the Allies Bus program, that our staff are really connected to building the relationship with children. We know that that's the foundation of getting them engaged and really having them enjoy programming. And so I'm really glad your daughter went through that experience, because when that adult really reaches that student or child, that is the point where the child, well, we know we've impacted a child in a positive manner. So
I mean, we always read to our children and read with them, but she, for some reason, that teacher could figure out exactly what her problem
there,
was.
I love passionate teachers.
Oh,
there's teachers that, you know, really just have so many people in their classrooms, and I get that with all the shortage. But there's the teachers that you just make that connection. And,
right, take that,
you know,
extra
Tiffany,
effort.
My younger daughter, she had a teacher that made a connection. It's amazing what it does on your, you know, for your children. So
the other thing about summer learning to me, because I was really big on this, is make it part of the fun. Take your kids to a museum, take them to the zoo, have them read about the animals, have them then make a game of what you learned. Take them to an art museum and point out different things in history. Take them to a, you know, the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles is phenomenal. And I know it's a trek to get down there. But, you know, the Science Museum has a Cleopatra thing. And now you can take the train down there and take the subway over to Exposition Park. You don't even have to drive anymore.
There's a lot of local resources and entertaining and educational locations, such as the parks, the museums, the universities, are a great place, and obviously some of these community centers that offer more so educational opportunities. But also just playing fun math and word games that turn everyday activities into learning opportunities.
Right. We had multiplication contests in the car. Every time we got in the car, I would yell out, you know, 3 times 5, and the kids whoever did it, they would get points, and then...
Right. That's what I do with my 8-year-old, and he's always asking, Mom, test me. Mom, test me.
And, you know, I used to play the 2 times 2 is, you know, the music of learning how they're, you know, all that, and then spelling. I did all that. Yeah, you're right. Anything that plays over and over on the radio or in the music, or, you know, it gets in their head. So anyways, well, this has been really informative. And can you leave us with one tip that my listeners can do for their children that won't cost them any money?
One tip that won't cost them any money: visit your libraries, visit your parks and museums, your universities. They have a lot of amazing opportunities for children just to be engaged in these low-cost, in some cases, and in some cases, nothing like the libraries and the state parks. I mean, that's nature at its best, observing, exploring. And they have a lot of amazing activities. I would encourage them to visit www.summermatterstoyou.net and get the parent checklist. The parent checklist will provide them with top 10 ways to know if children are engaged during the summer learning program. So in a quality summer learning program, you will see kids who are happy. And when you mentioned that, kids who feel safe, kids who are learning by doing, kids being creative, kids moving and playing, and kids showing off their learning, which is what we wanted children to get to, a point where they're just expressing what they learned today and they want to show mom and dad. I will tell you that online, you can find a lot of amazing events and activities for children to be involved in, but I think I can leave your parents with is this. As a parent, we need to be involved. As a parent, we need to speak. And as a parent, we need to go out there and observe. Observe for yourself. Ask questions before your child gets into that program. These summer programs and agencies are very willing to do the work. But I think as parents, we need to definitely be willing to go out there and do the research that it takes for our kids, one, to be safe.
Perfect.
To be involved.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
Bye-bye.
All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you. My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley.
Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and gosh, our hour is almost done. We are into our weekend. I'm so excited. I kind of want to go over really quick. There's so many things to do, and we've got the Strawberry Festival out here in Oxnard, and that is today, Saturday, and Sunday. We've got Caneo Wine and Jazz Festival over at Caneo Creek Park, and that's East Jones Road. We've got the Girls and Boys Club on Sunday from 2 to 5 at Pierpont Inn, and that's their 19th annual garden party. And then also, last night, I was giving away one ticket to a fashion show, and this is in Thousand Oaks at the Thousand Oaks Teen Center. And it's for a great cause. It's You Can and Once Upon a Dream, a charity fashion show. And that is Sunday, May 20th, 2 to 5:30. And if somebody would like to take this ticket at 805-639-0008, they're going to have Agora High School fashion design. They've got a bunch of different things going on. But this is a ticket to go in there and check it out, meet new people. And it's a great cause. It's featuring cancer survivors in style.
I just want to ask you, are you sure the Strawberry Festival is today also?
Yes, it's a preview.
Oh, preview's today.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because when I looked at the thing, it was from 10:30 to 6:30 on Saturday and Sunday.
I believe it's today. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. But I believe it is, because they said
anyway,
that it was...
go online before you drive.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. So, you know, I just found this website, and I thought that it would be kind of interesting to talk about it. But it's 10 Simple Ways to Save Yourself. And, you know, so many of us...
From messing up your life.
Yeah, from messing up your life. But, you know, messing up your life, that's a huge statement right there. But I thought that it would be interesting to talk about it because we're going to the summer. Kids are almost done with school. We start kind of looking at our lives and, you know, maybe we slump down into... I've had a couple emails and a text from some of my listeners out there that are going through some hard times in their lives, maybe even a depression. And so this is like, you know, one... stop taking so much notice of how you feel. I think that when you're in a slump, we really are always checking in with ourselves, like every minute. Do we feel any better? Nope, not yet. Do we feel any, you know?
You know, I always, if I'm in that mood, I go do something for someone else.
Great thing.
Because if you can get out of your own narcissism, I mean, we all have those moments.
Yes.
Then you can have better perspective of your own life.
And you know what? Don't isolate yourself.
Because frankly, there is always somebody that's worse off than you. And I don't care where you are. There is always somebody that's more problems.
And look at it as gratitude instead of saditude. You know, we can always feel sorry for ourselves, you know. So the next one is let go of worrying. It often makes things worse. We worry about, we can't change anything.
No.
We physically cannot change anything. So if we worry less and just do what you got to do and get on with the world and kind of have that faith and trust.
That's a little harder for me to do as a personal because I'm not a control freak, but I tend to want... If I start worrying about something, it's hard for me to give that up.
Right.
So I have to really work on it.
I have to work on that too, definitely.
The serenity prayer is tried and true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. That's
very
good.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change... Change things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely. Right. I love that. The next one is ease up on the internal life commentary. And if you want to be happy, stop telling yourself you're miserable.
That's right.
You know, think positive.
Happiness does not happen to you.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to make it.
It is you making it happen.
Exactly. And so people are always telling themselves how they feel. What they're thinking and what others feel about them, and just embrace.
And stop getting caught up in the if only I.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to lead into that. Take notice of the inner critic. Okay, we all have that negative voice.
That's right.
Talk to that negative voice and go, "You're not coming with me today." You know, we're gonna change that. Start to go, "No, I can. I will. I, you know, yes, I'll do it." All those things, change that. The next one is give up on those feeling guilty. That guilt, you know, changes nothing. It doesn't help you in any way whatsoever. So, you know, and the other, stop being concerned what the rest of the world says about you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. Really learn to be comfortable in your own skin. I mean,
I don't have that problem.
Yeah, but a lot of people do, and you're lucky that you don't. But
it took me years to get there.
Yeah.
And not worry about whether somebody liked me or not. You cannot make anybody else like you.
No. Who you are.
And frankly, you don't want to change for somebody else. You want to change for yourself. So if you're having not to be who you are so that they'll like you, then it doesn't work. It's too exhausting.
Yeah, there you go. The next one is stop keeping score. Oh, my gosh. Numbers are just numbers. Don't have, like, my friends all have this car and I don't have this car. My kids are all doing that and their kids are doing that. Be happy with who you are. You know, we have a moment more. Don't be concerned that your life and your career aren't working out the way you planned them. Don't let others use you to avoid being responsible to their own decisions. And don't worry about your personality. You don't really have one. Be who you are. We all have personal gifts. We are all meant to be here for a reason. And I just want you to embrace that. With that, I want to thank all of my listeners for being a part of our show today. And I can't wait to come back and talk to you on Monday. It's Motivational Monday. We got Dr. Stephen Trudeau joining us every Monday. Marcia, this has been fun. Are you going to be here all next week with me?
No.
Okay.
Everybody's back from vacation.
There you go. Barry, thank you for being on my show today. And again, of course, I end all of my shows with my mommy moment. And today's is don't be afraid of opposition. Remember, a kite rises against the wind, not with the wind. And, you know, be who you are. Be what you're supposed to be. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you later. Have a really great weekend.
It's Friday!